Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, yes, sir. Better late than never. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. That's a good suspense-building pause right there. We have a new producer, Jack, on the board this morning. As Ty Henderson is having some surgery. We'll walk him through it. He is on his first morning here producing our show. Had a little incident there with the open. No big deal. Here we go. A lot to do on a busy Wednesday. Drag you up over the hump. Colder temperatures this morning. Rain on the ground after the overnight storms and front move through. Be ready for that as you get up and out on this, the 8th of February, 2023. And a busy one. An historic night in Los Angeles last night. LeBron James made it happen with a step-back jumper in the third quarter. He is now the most prolific scorer in the history of the NBA. We'll let you hear the audio when it happened. If you couldn't stay up late to see it on the West Coast, what a moment it was. A record a lot of folks never thought would be broken was broken last night in the NBA. We've also got plenty of Texas football news. Looks like a roster position switch possibly coming down for the Horns. Another recruit is in the bag for the Texas as of yesterday. We'll dive into Steve Sarkisian in the winter workouts, college hoops. Also the NFL, the quarterback carousel, beginning to spin in the National Football League. Looks like Derek Carr may have a trade suitor that he's allowed to speak to. Get you the very latest on that as well. And Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things with the drama that we have come to expect. And, of course, a few days out now from Super Bowl 57 in Phoenix, Arizona, or just outside. It is Eagles-Chiefs in Super Bowl 57. Should be a great one. It's going to be a busy, busy Wednesday morning. A lot to do. Over 4 hours of fun and conversation. We appreciate you being there. However you find us, maybe it's on 104.9, maybe 101.9, AM 1260. And as we found out last week during the ice storm, love having our digital options as well. The Horn app, your smart speaker, and always Mr. Godbolt streaming at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas,
and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated, all you soldiers out there. And, of course, those that are still working those power lines, thank you, too. And I'm sure people are understanding that you're trying to get it done. There's still those thousands without power. And hopefully that'll get done before this week is up.
Yeah, and hopefully the storm last night didn't bring any more damage.
Yeah. Well, we had some lightning last night again.
Pretty big storm and front move through here to drop the temperatures, and there were going to be some straight line winds in certain areas, and obviously there's still loose branches that could be blown down. I actually almost ran into one driving into work this morning. I don't know if it blew out of a tree.
Out of a trailer again.
Well, I think it might have blown off the curb, because in Onion Creek where I live, I mean, there are just stacks of branches and people are having to load them in.
People are just saying, you know what? Come and get this stuff. If you got your trailer, come and get it. This is wood. I mean, if you got a smoker or anything else, this will work for you. Or fire
oak
pit.
Wood, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got some firewood for my fire pit now after our big limb came down. Yeah. And Jake and the crew at Student Loan Payment Lawn Care came out and cut it all up. I've got some nice ready-to-go firewood on the back patio now. So here we go. It's going to be a busy Wednesday, so be careful as you get up and out. The roads are slick, and I think there could be a chance of some rain again this morning.
Yes.
As you get it rolling. Colder than it was yesterday. It was pretty muggy yesterday.
In the 70s. How about that? Like 72 degrees
about
yesterday.
48, 49 degrees right now to start your Wednesday. Gearing up for Super Bowl. Super Bowl 57. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the weekend. Let's get you caught up, though, on the news of the morning. If you couldn't stay up for the end of the third quarter on the West Coast last night, double shot power and history made. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. And that's right, in the NBA, the historic night in L.A., star-studded crowd to see LeBron James, who had an opportunity to go past and become the most prolific scorer in the history of the league. He achieved it late in the third quarter.
Looking for James. James.
And there it was, Mike Breen on TNT Sports last night as the kid from Akron, Ohio, once labeled the chosen one on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, connected on a step-back jumper to push his career total points to 38,388 and break a record that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had held for nearly 39 years. Kareem was courtside to witness and congratulate James afterwards, as were his mother and wife and children. They watched in the star-studded crowd. Oh, and the Lakers lost the game, by the way, to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 133-130, but history nonetheless. College basketball last night, Kansas State rolled past TCU up there in Manhattan, 82-61 in the lone Big 12 contest. In College Station, A&M held off Auburn, 83-78. High school hoops, big win for Westlake last night. Get more over there at flexatx.com. They top Buta Johnson, 58-55, to move into a tie in that tough district, 26-6A, with the Jaguars. And Texas football news, a report this morning from inside Texas that the Longhorns have moved sophomore wide receiver Savion Red to running back during winter workouts. The 5'10", 210-pounder was a quarterback at Grand Prairie High School. As a senior, threw for nearly 800 yards and 8 touchdowns, but ran for 1,353 yards and 20 scores. He joins a running back room where Tashard Choice is tasked with replacing both Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, who combined for over 2,100 rushing yards last year and 26 touchdowns. Jonathan Brooks, Keelan Robinson, Jaden Blue, and the freshman Cedric Baxter are the four other scholarship running backs on the roster. If you missed it yesterday morning, Steve Sarkisian and the Horns did add another highly rated in-state recruit, Warren Roberson, safety from Red Oak High School, signed his national letter of intent in a signing ceremony that was delayed by last week's ice storm. The versatile DB, ranked as the top 50 player in the state, becomes the 25th and likely final high school recruit for the class of 2023. In the NFL, report this morning, the Vegas Raiders have given quarterback Derek Carr permission to speak with the New Orleans Saints about a potential trade. Raiders need to cut or trade the 31-year-old QB before next Wednesday. Over $40 million of his contract becomes fully guaranteed, so there is a clock on this deal. Also yesterday, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers revealed during his weekly visit on the Pat McAfee Show that he plans to make a final decision on whether he will continue to play or not following a four-day darkness retreat that he plans to take after the Super Bowl.
UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
4 days in the darkness, huh?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't sound too appealing, but, you know, we each do our own thing.
I mean, yeah.
Just, do your own
just
thing.
Just he in his thoughts. In
yeah, he says he's got some friends that have tried it and really enjoyed it, found a lot of spirituality and enlightenment from just 4 days in the dark.
Yeah.
Just you in the dark. And, yeah, so self-reflection, he said, isolation, and I feel like that after that I'll be a lot closer to a final decision. Sometimes I think Aaron Rodgers is just pulling people's chain. He gets a rise out of it. He kind of likes it. Not a lot of likes it. And
I think he likes himself a lot, and Into the Darkness by himself is a good thing for him. I think he likes to be kind of with him. Yeah, but as you say, he likes to pull everybody else's chain, but I think Aaron Rodgers really loves some Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, and there's no doubt about that, you know, for sure. But, yeah, whatever you need to do. Maybe we'll try to do some in-depth research. If you know anything about darkness retreats and you've heard of this before, because we know he's done the ayahuasca thing, you know, go down and do the psychedelics and see if you see spirit, what goes on in the spirit world and things of that nature. This one a little different, but Aaron Rodgers looking for an answer.
Visit with the cocaine bear?
I guess. But obviously, top story, LeBron James last night. I tried to stay up to watch it. I really did. I watched most of the first half. He was on his way at 18 points, but I just ran out of gas at halftime and turned it off.
He ended up with like 39, 40 points last
night. He did. He had 38 points.
He's having quite a stretch, by the way.
His team's terrible.
The record, his
team Anthony
is
Davis just had 13. But, you know, I mean, when he came into the league, he was more of a pass first, you know, just a powerhouse. And I don't think a lot of people predicted that he'd be the guy that would break that record. You know, Kevin Durant's a name we've talked about a lot just because he's so prolific as a scorer. He's got unstoppable shots and the height and the ability to make three-pointers. LeBron James was not a dominant scorer coming into the league, but here he is, the all-time scoring leader. The consistency, year after year after year, and now he's the all-time leading scorer. And, you know, what a player. The chosen one has certainly lived up to the billing of a 16-year-old kid.
No doubt about it. I mean, the longevity of the way he's played the game and how physical he's played the game, you know, with not only just scoring but rebounding, defense. I mean, he's a heck of a defender. Well, yeah, still a pretty good defender at 39 years old. I mean, he is – you're talking about ageless. Wow.
Well, he's 18 times an All-NBA player. He's been to 10 finals. He's won 4 championships. He's 4 times the MVP. I mean, you know, the debate with Michael Jordan, look, he's certainly in the conversation of best player of all time. I mean, and Kareem's right there, too. He was courtside last night. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as Lew Alcindor, was one of the greatest high school players of all time at Power Memorial High School in New York City, one of the greatest college players of all time at UCLA.
Most decorated basketball player of all time.
But, you know, LeBron a little bit like Kareem. The Kareem was kind of quirky and, you know, he had his political motivations as well and, you know, it took it, you know, was outspoken on things, which was a good thing. And LeBron is not liked by a lot of people because, A, he's not Michael Jordan, and, B, he's, you know, whatever the politics comes into it. But as far as a basketball player, I mean, it's a very, very short list of players that are as good or better than LeBron James all time. He is that great. And I always point out the fact that he's never really been in trouble off the field. He can do some things and say some things you don't like or agree with. But,
and a lot of people do.
But as far as, you know, his behavior, he's been a pretty model citizen and a good husband and, you know, as far as we know, and, you know, kids and all he's done for the city of Akron, where I grew up, spent the first 8 years of my life there. I've heard from firsthand folks of what he has done to be impactful in that community. So pretty cool stuff last night. LeBron James, even unfortunately, the Lakers haven't put much of a roster around him, and they're not very good. He's 25-30 this year, won't make the playoffs.
Oh, no. Well, LeBron hasn't put anybody around him. He is the Lakers. He's the general manager and everything else. And that has been a mess since he's gone there. He went there to win championships. He's got one, but, I mean, it's just tough. I mean, and they're expecting guys to stay healthy. They just can't. That group can't stay healthy.
Well, Anthony Davis can't play a full season.
No.
We know that. And
he's got bad wheels.
He does, and he's always been injury prone. But, yeah, I mean, the individual mark, impressive, to say the least. And, I mean, I've seen a stat where he was the fastest player to 1,000 points. He was on the fastest player to 5,000 points. He was the fastest to 10, to 20, to 30. And now here he is, you know, most ever. And he's still going. He's only 38 years old. He can keep playing if he wants. I mean, who knows how far he can stretch that.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a word about retirement with him.
Well, and, you know, you and I tell the story all the time. His career pretty much spans the duration of our show. When we first got on the air way back in the late 90s, you remember we had a guest on the show, a good friend of mine who I went to school with here at St. Edward's, T. Kirk Griffith, who was the high school basketball coach at a high school called Hoban High. And he called me and said, "Hogan, I know you're on the radio now. You got to know about this kid. You got to know about this kid, LeBron. He's unbelievable. He plays over at St. Vincent, St. Mary's. No one can stop him." And I said, "Well, what makes him so great?" He goes, "Well, because he doesn't want to score. You know, he can score, but he likes to get his teammates involved. He's an unbelievable passer. He's a great defensive player. We just can't draw up a defense that he can't crack." And, you know, and it'd be the fact that he's not a ball hog and he's willing to share the basketball. And, you know, he went on to be a high school phenom. We know that, to the Cavaliers. And now here he is breaking the record. And that's why the fact that he's the all-time scoring leader will surprise a lot of people, or probably wouldn't have believed it when he began his career, because he was not a polished offensive player who has become just a force and a powerhouse as a player. I heard the afternoon guys talking about it yesterday. And the other great scorers of all time kind of had a signature shot, right? Jordan developed the fadeaway.
Oscar Robertson had the baseline fadeaway.
Yeah, Kobe, you know, and the Mamba had that little step-back fadeaway. You know, I think that was originated by Kareem, right? Hakeem Olajuwon had the dream shake, which the fadeaway, which was unblockable, also had the little jump hook. And we know Kareem had the sky hook, which
Absolutely.
Was an unblockable shot, which led to a lot of his record-setting point totals. But it was pretty cool to see Kareem there cheering him on, and LeBron gets her done with a step-back kind of fadeaway jumper of his own from just outside the free-throw line to the left, and there it was, bang. Way downtown.
That's good stuff last night for him.
LeBron.
Good to see Kareem there, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was a who's who. Everybody in L.A. wanted to be there last night because there's not much to cheer for as far as the Lakers team goes. So to see some history and record and, you know, and obviously the fact that he did it in a Lakers uniform, Kareem did it in the Lakers uniform. Obviously, Wilt Chamberlain, who held the record before Kareem, also played for the Lakers. So that organization, Kobe Bryant, obviously a great all-time scorer. But pretty cool stuff for LeBron last night. We'll take your thoughts. Specs text line 512-337-3776. Also, in the top stories of the morning, Super Bowl around the corner. You still feeling Eagles by 6?
I do. Nothing's changed. Maybe 4 kickoff, maybe 3.5. But right now, to me, I think they win by 6.
I mean, they're a juggernaut on both sides of the ball, and that becomes the question for the Chiefs. You know, can they match that pass rush? We talked about yesterday. They're They sack a quarterback one in every 11.5 dropbacks. Attempts to throw the football. That is a rate that is all-time historic.
Yeah, and the Eagles will have to continue to score. This won't be one of those where you, if you get out to a lead, you can sit on it. Not with that guy at quarterback.
We know Andy Reid off a bye week, you know, always comes up with some extra razzle-dazzle. I think Nick Sirianni will do that as well. But at the same time, I think the biggest focus for the game itself is Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. What has he come up with to try to combat this offense and this RPO run-pass option offense that really early in his career Jalen Hurts has mastered? I mean, he really, you know, the ability to do that play fake and freeze linebackers. And you know, I mean, if you're stopping to guess and try to read it, that's the extra step, you know, an A.J. Brown needs on the outside.
And we've seen Kansas City's defense get beat with the run. Now, if they get beat up with the run game by Philly, as you said, that opens up the door for Jalen Hurts to play action, do everything he wants to do.
They did a nice job against the Bengals. Remember, that was a Bengals team that was beat up.
And that offensive line.
Yeah, three of their five offensive linemen were hurt. They harassed Joe Burrow. This is a different outfit here, this Eagles team. They're the best offensive line in the league. They're a powerhouse out front.
As you say, when they come down on double teams, boy, they expose you. I mean, they'll have to do that with Chris Jones somehow.
Yeah, well, they know about him.
Oh,
and that'll be Jason Kelce.
Game wrecker.
Jason Kelce and that interior, they know what they're dealing with in Chris Jones, and they'll move him all over the line. But, you know, that's kind of the issue. I mean, you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit here. I know Cowboy fans hate to do it, but Howie Roseman, whether he's lucked into some things and because there's great stories out of Philadelphia of what Howie wanted to do and what he ended up doing and how it's kind of worked in his favor. Same time, he's built a team that has an MVP candidate quarterback that they drafted in the second round earlier than most people ever thought Jalen Hurts would be drafted. He pulled off the A.J. Brown trade. He's built the best offensive and defensive lines in the league. You know, that's pretty impressive. This is a tough outfit to stop. And, you know, if they can win this one, this might be a window opening to kind of like the Chiefs, where the Chiefs are in their third Super Bowl in 5 years. Eagles have put themselves in a position to be that kind of team.
Play again and again if it has.
Potentially.
Yep.
Because I know Cowboy or Longhorn fans hate seeing these mock drafts that have the Eagles taking Bijan Robinson with one of their first-round picks to even load up even further. But, yes, because you know a talented team could get more talented off a Super Bowl, and they're in your own division. So, and ask anybody in the AFC West what it's like to deal with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, once they got Mahomes and Andy Reid together, they've been unbeatable. And the Chargers and the Raiders and the Broncos have just been, you know, looking at the dust of the Chiefs. And that you hope that that doesn't become what the Eagles can be.
Well, when you got that great general manager and you got an owner who stepped back because Jeffrey Lurie used to be way too involved, and he decided, guess what, I've got a guy who's a general manager. Why don't I just get out of this and just write the checks? Let him do his job. And since he's done that, you know, they've won a Super Bowl, and now they're in another.
Yeah, they did. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk that after the Super Bowl win, when Nick Foles won it, of course, from Westlake, and he became the hero of Philadelphia, that you know, there's a lot of guys kind of chasing the credit a little bit. Maybe the egos got in the way, and we've seen that in a lot of places when championships are won. And that maybe led to some of the disarray, Doug Peterson being out, and all that went down. Same time, they've regrouped. You know, you said Jeffrey Lurie's kind of backed up. Howie Roseman has hit a home run personnel-wise, and this kid Jalen Hurts is really good. And here we go. Super Bowl on Sunday, 5:30. And remember, throughout the week, our big game coverage brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer in Leander, right there on Crystal Falls Parkway. Also one in Northeast Austin, I-35 and Runberg. It's Texas Truck and Trailer.
Get those trailers. Pick up them sticks.
Boy, there are a lot of trailers out there these days.
Boy, is there ever.
Ooh, Texas Truck and Trailer.
As I said, some amateurs out there driving them, too.
You like Derek Carr to the Saints?
I do.
This makes sense?
Makes sense for the Saints to make that move now.
Well, it would indicate, because we told you yesterday, that the Raiders would not allow Derek Carr to talk to teams until they had talked to them and agreed to compensation of what it's going to take to make the trade happen. Kind of like, hey, don't waste our time. If we're not going to agree on what it's going to take to get Derek Carr, then you don't even need to be talking to him. So obviously the Saints have already agreed to the price tag to acquire Derek Carr. And obviously that division with Tom Brady's retirement, Buck,
it's
anybody's
open.
Division.
And the Saints still have a pretty good defense to do some things. And they've got a nice offense with some young wide receivers in there.
They love
now.
Chris Olave.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with the Michael Thomas situation.
Does that
there.
Dude still play?
I don't know.
When he plays?
I don't know what to say about Michael Thomas. He was such a great player, and then is it you get, you know, injuries and a bit of a diva? Drew Brees retired. I don't know. But, yes, they still have good players there. Alvin Kamara is still there, for crying out loud. He's a good player. You know, Chris Olave. They've got pretty good ball players and a good defense. Tough
Cameron
home
Jordan
crowd.
Still play there on defense. Is that big guy still?
Yeah, he does. He does. Cam Jordan, good player. I mean, and that's Dennis Allen, their coach, is a defensive guy. He was Sean Payton's defensive coordinator. So they're going to play in that division.
So that'll be it for Jameis. I mean, if this were to happen,
for sure, famous Jameis would be out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that division is just wide open. I mean, you're talking about Carolina, Atlanta, and now Tampa Bay without Tom Brady. They're in rebuild mode. You can be aggressive, and, you know, we've seen give credit to the Saints if they can pull this off, because the teams that have been aggressive at this point of the season, off season, and really gone and gotten a veteran quarterback have seen it pay off. I mean,
sure.
You know, the Buccaneers were aggressive going to get Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, and, you know, are the Saints about to pull the same thing? And bring in a veteran quarterback. I don't know if Derek Carr's to that level of player, but he's I think most would agree he's a top 12 kind of quarterback.
Well, if you've got a solid coaching staff and you're okay on defense and you've got some offensive weapons, he'll be just fine.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about Dak Prescott and in that top 12 of quarterbacks, right? There are 32 teams, that three tiers of quarterbacks. He's in that top 10, 12, and he's been to a Pro Bowl. So if you don't have a top 10 or 12 quarterback, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade for you. And if you put the right mix around it and you can win a division, get yourself in the playoffs.
In that division?
That's where you want to be. So we'll follow that story. And again, February the 15th is the deadline day. That's the day after Valentine's Day, next Wednesday, week from today. If he's on their roster, they've got to guarantee $40 million to him, which they do not want to do.
Yeah, they sound like they've been talking to them. It sounds like the Saints, they've been having some talks with that group.
Well, you know, this is one of those, if you can agree to compensation already, figure that out and you know, Derek Carr could be a Saint pretty quickly. This is going to happen pretty. I mean, I would imagine the NFL would like to keep this out of the headlines until after the Super Bowl. Let the Super Bowl stand alone. But maybe early next week, Monday, Tuesday, you hear word of him going to the Saints. But I think there may be other teams involved. I think, you know, Washington football team comes to mind. Washington Commanders, the Carolina Panthers. Gosh, a lot of teams that would be interested in him. And I think the Raiders would like to trade him out of the AFC, go ahead and get him into the NFC conference, and I think it would be a nice landing spot for him, Derek Carr, to the Saints. We'll follow that story. The Aaron Rodgers story is there. The days of our quarterback lives. We'll get into the Longhorns and the story that Savion Redd going to running back. Get your thoughts on that, Buck, as a former running backs coach. We'll also continue to talk LeBron James, his historic night, as we are rolling on. We got our man Jack running the show this morning. He's doing a good job. Had a little bit of a rough start there, but we're rolling. We are rolling now. We got a Craig Way report coming your way. Got some B&E facts of the day. Just getting warmed up on the show of the people. Here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And remember, always stream it. Horn app, smart speaker, and hornfm.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
That's right, busy Wednesday. It's now 38,388 points and counting for LeBron James, who did wrap up his speech to the crowd after they stopped play for about 10 minutes with an F-bomb. That was, you know.
Okay, LeBron, don't get too excited.
Don't get too excited. Said, blank man, thank you guys, as he walked away. But yes, then they lost the ball game. That's typical for the Lakers. Also, my bad, I mentioned that with Mike Breen on the call on TNT last night. That was actually Central Texas' own Brian Anderson on the call. My apologies. I thought I heard Mike Breen, but it was Brian. And Brian is from Georgetown. He, you know, great young, actually not young, he's been around a while now, a play-by-play announcer. He does the Milwaukee Brewers and the MLB and see him all over Turner Sports. He's one of the best young broadcasters in the biz. So apologies to Brian. He was on the call last night on TV when LeBron broke the record, which he did. We've also got Super Bowl on the brain, NFL. And I looked it up, Buck. If you're intrigued by Aaron Rodgers and his four-day darkness retreat, there's a website called retreat.guru. That you could retreat guru, and that's where you can find it. And I'm looking at it right now, Buck. They've got all kinds of retreats all over the world.
Yeah, man. I just don't want myself. I don't want to be with myself that long
Costa
by myself
Rica's
in the darkness.
Costa Rica's got one. You can go to Spain. You go to Portugal.
Oh.
You do 20-day ayahuasca retreats. You can do 10-day. You can do private cabin retreats. And yes, you can do the four-day darkness isolation retreats.
I'll just eat more broccoli.
I'll just eat more broccoli.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers, always doing it right. Also, Derek Carr to the Saints has been a conversation already this morning. Will that happen? Could that happen? You wonder if this, with this word getting out that the Saints have been given permission by the Raiders to speak to Derek Carr and his people about a trade, you wonder if that pushes other teams that are interested to get on board here, and there becomes, I'm sure that's what the Raiders would like to see, is a bit of a bidding war. Because remember, that's what happened with the Houston Texans, right? Houston Texans
that's
did
right.
the very same thing with Deshaun Watson. They said, you can't talk to Deshaun about a trade until you talk to us first about compensation. But then, you know, so you had the four teams that he narrowed it down to, and then he eliminated the Browns and a couple of others, and he was looks like it was going to be, what do you have it narrowed down to? Atlanta? And what was the other one that was coming after Deshaun Watson last summer? Atlanta was one of the finalists, and maybe it was
Miami.
Maybe it was New Orleans, if memory serves. Carolina, maybe. But he eliminated a couple, and that's when the Browns came back and said, wait a second, we've been eliminated. We really want this quarterback. And that's when his agent was able to go in, and because the Texans and the Browns had already agreed to the compensation of draft picks and the haul it would take to get him. His agent, David Mulugeta, from right here in Austin, Texas, went back and said, okay, we'll put you back on the list, but we want guaranteed money. We want a guaranteed contract,
too.
Which is how Deshaun and his agent pulled off the coup to get the first ever fully guaranteed quiet contract, which for most people is what is stalling out the Lamar Jackson talks in Baltimore, because Lamar Jackson is saying, wait a second, well, I want fully guaranteed money, just like Deshaun got, and they're not willing to go there. And that's when you have leverage, Buck, in a negotiation, when you've got the leverage, and the Browns were desperate. They had been eliminated from contention, and then they desperated their way back into it and gave the player what he wanted.
Yeah, and these things, like you said, will and these dominoes will start to really, really fall after Sunday. That next week is going to be just filled with all kinds of happenings.
Yeah, I think so. And this has become the norm. That's why we have glossed it the days of our quarterback lives every offseason now, because there didn't used to be a lot of quarterback movement. Certainly not big-name quarterback movement.
Oh, no.
And now it's every year. It's every year you see, you know, Hall of Fame level, high Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks switching teams, and I think this offseason will be no different, and, you know, Derek Carr will be the first, but he won't be the last. If, you know, if Aaron Rodgers goes on his retreat and comes home, we've already seen the report from Adam Schefter that the Packers prefer to trade the player than move forward with him, and that Aaron Rodgers, I guess, is okay with that. What Aaron Rodgers wants to decide on his 4 days of isolation is, does he want to keep playing? And if he does, he could also be moved and traded. The Jets have been mentioned as a possible landing spot, and there'll be others that'll be after the 39-year-old quarterback, because he would be moving, you know, similar age and time frame to when Tom Brady, you know, left. Tom Brady was a little older when he left New England to go to Tampa Bay, but of course it worked out pretty well for Tom Brady. He won a Super Bowl there, was in the playoffs 3 years, and is there a team out there, Buck, that you look at that say would be perfect for Aaron Rodgers?
Besides the San Francisco 49ers? Any really, really good quarterback with the 49ers right now, I mean, that's just money for them. I mean, a guy like Aaron Rodgers with that group?
Yeah, well, that would, I mean, gosh, they might be able to win the Super Bowl with Derek Carr or even lesser.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But if you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, oh, man.
You know, I was excited about if the fact that Brady would have ended up with the 49ers, I thought they still could, you know, Tom Brady could get another Super Bowl and the 49ers could get a Super Bowl. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers there. I mean, so and for the 49ers, it's not about it's about winning Super Bowls for them, and they've got that window that's just kind of right there with the players that they have. You know, they still got to find defensive coordinator coming there.
Yeah,
I mean their time is still at hand right now.
Well, and also remember recently out at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which Aaron Rodgers won, by the way. You see, he won that from the celebrity side of it because his handicap was so high, he was able to win that thing. He said in an interview at the Pro-Am that he was talking to former golfer and current CBS analyst Colton Nost, and he said, I'm not going to San Fran, he said. He pretty much ruled out the 49ers. So, you know, I agree with you that him on that team, even at 39 years old, would be devastating. But he has already said, I'm not going to the Niners. So, I guess
then for me, from that point on, then it's about – it's about the money away from the football part of it, and that's where a place like the Jets.
Well, remember, they just made him the highest-paid quarterback ever last year with the contract they signed him to last April. But there are ways to get out of that contract.
New York City for him?
I think the Jets would be intriguing because, you know, we're in the interesting game. Interesting, you know, it would be very similar to Brett Favre, traded from the Packers to the Jets. But this is a different Jets, it feels like. They're a good young team. They got good young talent. Aaron Rodgers, you know, and you know, I heard Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner's the great young corner out of Cincinnati who they drafted in the top five last year and just played so great. He may be the defensive rookie of the year. And he was on, did an interview yesterday. And earlier, well, at the Pro Bowl, he was joking around about, Aaron, man, how cool it would be to get Aaron Rodgers on their team. And yesterday, he kind of apologized for that and said, man, I shouldn't have. Zach Wilson's still my quarterback. He's my teammate. He's got a lot of talent. Pretty much was probably called by the team and say, hey, listen, we've got quarterbacks on the roster. Let's not be popping off about other quarterbacks, because if we don't get him, you still got to play alongside these guys. And it is pretty incredible, though, with the Jets that it does feel like they've already sailed on, you know, 1 year in, or what is he, 2 years in?
2 years.
That they're done with the Zach Wilson experiment. Remember, they drafted him out of BYU in the top, you know, three quarterbacks.
Well, we know this. If it doesn't work this year, it's not going to work.
They may not even give him this year.
Wow.
I mean, this one feels like...
I mean, if you're going with a new quarterback going into camp, then it's over with. But if you go in there with him at camp, that means he's either going to, you know, sink or swim.
Well, the thing with the Jets is they have a top-five defense, as is, and Robert Saleh, their coach, is a defensive coach.
Will their running back be back next
Breece
year?
Hall.
Will he be? I mean, because he did that early, right? He did that...
pretty early. Hall will be back. Breece Hall at Iowa State, who was playing great, hurt his knee. He's out. But Garrett Wilson, they got good young players. Remember, also their big, massive left tackle got hurt in training camp.
That's right.
He'll be back. I mean, these are top players, and they were pretty good last year and then faded late because they had terrible quarterback play. Any Jets fan would say if we had moderate to average quarterback play, we might have made it in. Their defense was that stingy and that good. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers there. Well, there's some thought to that, and they may have the capital to go get it. And obviously, New York City, you know, would be a big opportunity for Aaron.
So he could continue with his weirdness.
It's hard to get isolated in New York City, though. It's hard to find isolation rooms. And
well, LeBron can't even go to Target. Remember?
I know LeBron wants to go to Target.
He wants to go to Target alone.
Alone.
Really?
And you know what? If I saw LeBron James at Target, I wouldn't say anything to him. I'm one of those. I'm like, yeah, he's going. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going
to
say?
I'm trying to snap a photo maybe from afar. I'm not going to bother the guy.
Yeah.
I'm
are you looking for aspirin, LeBron? I'll show you where it is.
But I know I'm in the minority on that. People will rush the guy.
You think so, really?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, but yes. Aaron Rodgers, no, would not be able to go to Target.
No.
But I don't think he shops at Target.
No, he's not shopping at Target.
Here it is. Reunion with McCarthy. Bring him to Dallas. Ooh, Aaron Rodgers to the Cowboys. Well, you know. He and Mike McCarthy weren't seeing eye to eye when they split in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think that one is burned down right there.
But let me ask you this. Would you rather have 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers or almost 30-year-old Dak Prescott?
I would rather have Aaron Rodgers because I'd like to see Jerry win a Super Bowl and then go off to one of those four-day darkness deals. Just go hang out somewhere. Let him get his Super Bowl somehow, and then he'll give up the reins then. He's
not selling that team.
I'm not selling it.
Even though he could sell it for $10 billion.
He's selling it within the family. I think he would take a step back if he won a Super Bowl then. But until he wins one, he's going to think, you know, at 90, he can still manage that whole organization. So, but I don't know if he's doing it with Dak Prescott. I just...
This guy says, I saw Nolan Ryan at Dos Salsa in Georgetown. Everyone left him alone. Well, that's Nolan Ryan might put you in a headlock and beat your ass.
Oh, yeah.
No, just kidding. Nolan would be someone you could go up to and say hello.
Absolutely.
But, yes. Yeah, there are those. But if LeBron walked into a Target, come on, man. He'd be mobbed.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to.
What's he shopping for at Target anyhow?
That's
shampoo?
True. Have it sent to the house.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll continue these conversations. I have a Craig Wade report coming your way. We've also got some B&E facts of the day. Did you watch the State of the Union? On our Coach's Corner next hour, we'll dive into the Longhorn State of the Union. Steve Sarkisian feeling pretty good about his roster. Also, Savion Redd going to be moving to running back, it appears, according to our friends over at Inside Texas. We'll get the latest on that, but we'll do some State of the Texas Football Union. How about this, Buck, in the Coach's Corner? Steve Sarkisian with the great early script and game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rodney Terry making the halftime adjustments. We need to get these guys together. I mean, like, Steve Sarkisian, first half coach, Rodney Terry, second half coach. Why can't we get this together? Can they help each other out? I don't know.
Yeah. Rodney's going to have to do something about this.
Slow starts.
These slow starts.
Finding them down at halftime. You know, Steve Sarkisian. You
have to change up the music in the locker room. I know everybody's got their individual stuff, but you have to change up some kind of beats there.
Sark has the lead at halftime, and they can't hold it.
Oh, no, they go in and smoke a pack of Marlboros at halftime and then come back falling asleep.
We need to get these guys together and maybe help one another, you know? Share and share alike. What's the key here? But they need to figure out how to start better at Texas basketball. We'll dive into that as well. First, though, here's the Craig Way Report.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Wednesday, B&E Facts of the Daytime. That's Gary Clark Jr. right there, Buck. Ran into Gary recently at a local restaurant there in Buda. He remembers playing your golf tournament. Said to say hello.
He is. He's a wonderful young man.
He certainly is. Now he's a wonderful grown man.
Grown man now.
Gary Clark Jr., gosh, in the early 2000s, got up on a bar stool and played music at your, the Thursday night pre-party for your Mullet Open?
Yeah, down at the Hyatt, down on Town Lake. That was when you did the auction right there.
Yeah, he remembers. He remembers very well.
He played for Bud.
Yeah, played for Bud Lights, and he's gone on to do great. And I asked him what he's got going on. He's like, "Nah, spending time with the family and kids. Got kids playing ball, so
he's got to go to the ball game."
Yeah,
man.
He says, "I want to be a dad. I want to be a dad." Living out there in Kyle, between Kyle and Driftwood. So good for Gary. That's cool stuff right there. Other facts of the day, Buck. We know LeBron James is now the leading scorer all time in NBA history. That happened last night. We'll recap it for you again last night. We've also got the Longhorns with their 25th recruit. He is in. We came down during the show yesterday. Warren Roberson would have committed last week, but the ice storm up there and throughout the state of Texas delayed.
Got to have a ceremony.
Schools were closed. And so Warren Roberson finally reopened Red Oak High School up there, south part of the DFW Metroplex, and he committed the Longhorns. I thought this was interesting. He showed up with a TCU jacket on because he'd been verbally committed to TCU. And people are like, oh, geez, well, he's wearing the purple. And he pulled off the TCU jacket, and what do you know? He had a Texas polo on underneath it, and he committed to the Longhorns. Commitment number 25 for Texas, a hard-hitting safety, a top 50 prospect. And Steve Sarkisian wraps up and his staff pretty darn good recruiting haul.
Oh, for sure.
You add the 25 new high school players on top of the starting caliber players they brought in through the transfer portal.
True, and there'll be movement after the spring ball when guys are saying, you know what, I'm not going to make this team.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know what, that would be a positive development for this Texas program in my mind. We talk about the state of the union, state of the program. We know it's going to be as competitive of any winter and any spring football camp we've seen in a long time because they're actually, you know, competition for positions, right?
Yeah, there's jobs available at running back. I mean, yeah.
Everywhere. Offensive line. I mean, I think the only offensive line position that's secured is Kelvin Banks at left tackle. But, man, all the other, you know, all four return, but at the same time doesn't mean they're guaranteed the spots. You got to go win it.
No, you got some really – there's some great competition on that offensive line.
When Steve Sarkisian got here a pretty short time ago, they had 7 scholarship offensive linemen for winter workouts and into the spring.
So we've been around here when they couldn't have spring ball.
And that was one of them. Remember, yeah. They couldn't have an actual spring game. It was almost like a spring – they only had 7 scholarship linemen. Well, they're up to 15 now. And – so that's 3 deep, you know, 5, 5, and 5. I mean, and so now there's competition there. There's competition at quarterback. There's competition at receiver. There's competition at running back. And obviously on defense, same thing. So that's what you want. You want steel to sharpen steel. You want to compete for those positions. You want to earn that starting job against other really good players. And when you do, you become the starter. Same time, to your point, if things aren't looking good for you on the depth chart at Texas when the spring is over, you may see some guys at the bottom.
Sure.
Cat, you know, look for other places because they realize, wait a second, I just got beat out by a freshman or I just got beat out by a redshirt freshman.
I'm not going to sit around for another year.
And you would understand that.
Sure.
That, you know, okay. So that'll happen. But at the same time, that's going to happen at programs around the country so you can still fill spots. We've seen the Longhorns add pieces in the spring portal before. And so, yeah, I think this is there's a lot of excitement. What do you make of Savion Redd into the portal? We didn't see a lot of him. He wore number 17. Pretty dynamic player with the ball in his hands. They were converting him to wide receiver from quarterback that he played at Grand Prairie.
Yeah, so I see him as a hard cutting guy. I don't see him as a smooth guy. He's got really, I mean, he's probably got that kind of speed that you're looking for as a wide receiver. But he's a hard cutter. You know what I mean? A guy that sticks his foot into the ground pretty hard, like running backs do. He's not that smooth guy at wide receiver.
Yeah, he was going to have to learn that position.
Yes.
And going to the depth conversation we're just having, well, the Longhorns have added A.D. Mitchell, to that wide receiver room. Isaiah Nayer comes right back from his injury. They've
now
added,
you got a guy who can come out of the backfield as a receiver who's now played a little bit of both,
right,
which
added,
is a good
they've
thing.
They've added Jonte Cook and Ryan Niblett as freshmen who are coming in this receiver room. So the receiver room all of a sudden is really deep and pretty full with Xavier Worthy at the top of it and Jordan Whittington and all the guys I just mentioned. But the running back room, you know, there are four guys there. There's and Keelan Robinson, we know, as we saw in the bowl game, he's not an every down running back.
No.
He needs to be a gadget player. He needs to be a change of pace kind of player.
Yeah, but he needs to be a guy that's used. He can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he gets in games, you've got to use him.
And I just wonder if maybe next time we get a chance to talk to Sark, we'll ask him if indeed Inside Texas is right and the move is permanent, he's going to running back. If it's not just for the immediate, but it's for the long term, that mm-hmm. maybe at wide receiver, he had a pretty long ways to go to develop the route running and the polish it was going to take because having not played the position in high school. And he's just more of a natural runner. We saw Roschon Johnson move from quarterback to running back, and it worked pretty good. He's 5'10", he's 210 pounds, so he's plenty durable, you know, built enough to handle the running back room.
But if he doesn't like this move, you'll see him in the portal.
Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, when the spring is over with, if it doesn't work out for him, some of these other guys will move on.
Well, that's
that room is filled
whether
now.
It's him or somebody else, right? I mean,
right.
When you're talking about Cedric Baxter Jr. coming in, who's already on campus as an early enrollee, he's the five-star in some sources, the number one running back in the nation. He's here, along with Jaden Blue, Jonathan Brooks, and Keelan Robinson. Is this something where they're looking at Savion Redd saying, you know what, next year Keelan Robinson's going to be moving on. We're going to need, and we could lose a guy in the portal.
That's right.
We need depth at that position, and Savion Redd, maybe they see him as more of a natural running back than wide receiver at this point.
So, I would agree.
We will see. We will see. But 5'10", 210, Roschon Johnson, 6'1", and 225, but 210 is plenty big for
and
a running
back. That's a Priest Holmes kind of area.
And he's a game breaker there. A lot of buzz about him in the spring and summer last year, just the ability to – they liked him as potentially as a punt returner. So
can he catch?
Well, maybe that's a problem.
Oh no!
I don't know. We didn't.
That can't be a problem. That wide receiver, can it? You have to be able to catch.
Well, we saw him at Grand Prairie at a high level, run for 1,400 yards and 20 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Running quarterback. So we know he's got the natural running skills. So he's moving to back. So those are the Longhorns facts of the day. I give you another random fact of the day.
Okay.
Read this yesterday. Remember, you ever seen the movie American Pie?
Yes.
Remember Jason Biggs, the actor, and mm-hmm. he does the you-know-what with the apple pie?
Oh, yeah.
Says here that the apple pie was purchased at Costco.
Now you're talking.
See? Where'd they get the apple pie?
That means they got more than one pie. They probably got six pies.
So he actually had to do it, right?
I guess he did.
You
I don't
that?
Know. Yeah, I guess you can fake that.
That's where they got the pie, apparently. Yeah, gross. We'll be back. B&E on the horn.